Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The word of God for our meditation today is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, perhaps the familiar account of the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, that is Easter Sunday, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, dear fellow disciples of the risen Lord, just who were these two men? These two men on the road to Emmaus. You know, we don't know a whole lot about them. In a way, these two men are nobodies. You know, this is one of the points that an author of one of my devotional books that I own makes about these two men. They're nobodies. Of all people for Jesus to come and appear to on Easter Sunday, why waste his time on these two? He could have gone to somebody in the Roman government who had some power, some sway. He could have made big waves throughout the Roman Empire by going to Pontius Pilate. Remember me? He could have found somebody in the religious community with some pull and some influence like Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus. But no, he goes to these two nobodies. Why would he do that? Why would he pick these two men who are actually less than nobodies? They're heading away from Jerusalem, where there have been sights already of Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And they're going away from Jerusalem? Why would they not stay there with all the rest of the disciples, including Peter and John, and wait to see what's going to happen next? It's kind of surprising. Jesus would choose these two men to appear to. These are not exactly shining examples of followers of Jesus. Yet, it's these two that he picks. And he joins them on this 7-mile journey to this little village called Emmaus. Of course, he doesn't show himself and his identity to them right away. In fact, Luke tells us he kept them from recognizing him. And that's another question. Why wouldn't he just show them who he was right away? Why leave them in the dark for some time? In fact, for the entire journey. I mean, that would have stopped them right in their tracks, dead in their tracks. They would have wheeled around, taken him back with them to Jerusalem, and, you know, shared their own resurrection report with everybody there. But, you know, Jesus had different plans. As we'll see, Jesus had good reasons for coming to nobodies like these two guys. And as we'll see, Jesus had good reasons why he didn't reveal his identity to them right away. You see, Jesus' whole purpose in coming to these two men was not so much to just prove to them that he was alive. No, as we'll see, he has something better in mind for them. Now, he did stop them dead in their tracks. But not because they recognized him, right? But because they couldn't understand how in the world a person could not know what was going on and what had happened these last 3 days about Jesus of Nazareth. About how this Jesus had a 3-year following of disciples, how the chief priests arrested him and eventually crucified him. They just couldn't understand how a person could not know that happened. Now, Jesus is playing a bit coy here, right? He doesn't want them to know who he is. He's really trying to draw them out, right? He's getting them talking. He's getting them to expose just how despairing they are at a time like this. He wants to expose their doubts. He wants to expose how they kind of haven't been paying attention. They didn't pay attention to Jesus' words prior to his crucifixion, where he promised them that he would die and rise. And they haven't been paying attention. They haven't been taking seriously all these reports of Jesus' resurrection. And you know, Jesus kind of lets them have it over it. Here's what Luke tells us. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Ouch. Kind of sticks it to him. You know, Jesus could have brought himself into the picture, right? He could have said, "Didn't I tell you I would die and I would rise?" He could have even still, you know, stayed anonymous and said, "Didn't this Jesus tell you he would die and rise?" But no, he avoids that entirely. And he says, "Have you not paid attention to what the prophets of old said?" He directs them back to the Old Testament prophets. And then he does something amazing. Oh, if only we could have been there to hear it. He walks them through the Old Testament, connecting all the dots of prophecy to the Messiah, to himself and his life. Now, we weren't there. And Luke doesn't record, you know, the words that he said as he walked them through the Old Testament. But I think the gist of the sermon that he speaks to them, it seems to be this. It seems to be, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? What he did was he showed them through the Old Testament that Jesus of Nazareth was the perfect puzzle piece to fit every Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. And with every puzzle piece that Jesus clicked into place, that picture became clearer and clearer to these two men. And their hearts began to burn hotter and hotter as they walked along the road until they got to Emmaus. And by that time, there's a blazing furnace inside of each of them. You know, I think that we are in a similar position right now as these two men that we've come to call the Emmaus disciples. See, we're kind of in the a bit in the dark right now. And Jesus doesn't seem to be coming out of the shadows, exposing and showing his plans and his purposes for us. He's hiding those plans and those purposes from us at times like this. And so maybe you know, because some of us are experiencing some despair, some anxiety, some fears at a time like this. But could it be? Could it be that Jesus' plans and his purposes for these two men on the road to Emmaus are the same purposes as he's hiding from us at a time like right now? Let me ask you this. How much has your daily, everyday routine changed from February to now in April? Did you feel kind of overscheduled in February? Has that rush schedule kind of lightened in a way that, you know, maybe you have more time on your hands, or you maybe have more flexibility of time with how to use that time? Have you seen other benefits in your life that are a result of this stay-at-home order? Such that maybe you have more time, and yet that time is limited. Your options are limited for where you can go and how you can use that time. Have you seen benefits and blessings come about because of this, you know, sort of enforced, mandated quarantine and solitude? Let me ask you this. Has your renewed sense of your own personal mortality, has that caused you to kind of reevaluate the priorities that you have in life or that you should have? Is there a kind of clarity to April that wasn't there in February? You know, times of uncertainty and times of crisis, they can often bring about this kind of clarity in our lives. In times like these, it is the real priorities that start to resurface. Because, you know, in all the hurriedness and the harriedness of life, we can often kind of get swept up in that, in our normal life, of stuff that really doesn't matter all that much. We can pour our time and our resources and our attention into things that really aren't worth it. And so maybe, you know, even before this pandemic happened, your conscience was kind of nagging away at you a little bit for some of these things. But now that you have time, and now that you maybe have a little bit more mental space to think, now that life is a little bit more raw, maybe now those excuses are thinner than ever. And so maybe your conscience convicts you about your work-life balance and about your priority to spend more time with your family. Maybe for you, you were not so consistent at worshiping God in his church, in person, with his people. And maybe tuning into virtual worship has reminded you of all that you're missing. Maybe you find yourself praying more at times like these. And so looking back on your pre-pandemic prayer life, maybe it's conjured up a bit of regret. And maybe it's the same for your personal time in God's word as well. You know, have the months of April and March started this kind of spark and slow burn inside of your hearts that you have this desire to live differently than you were? That you have this desire to be different after restrictions begin to lift, or even right now? My friends, this was Jesus' main purpose for those two Emmaus disciples. His primary concern for them was not simply to show them that he was alive, and it was not even to send them back to Jerusalem to the rest of the apostles. No, what he most wanted to do for these two nobodies is to give them, in a way, a do-over. You see, they had listened to Moses and the prophets, And they had kind of missed the point about the Messiah. They had followed Jesus around. They had watched him. They had listened to him. They had watched him perform miracles. They had heard him predict his suffering and his death and even his resurrection. And they had watched him die. And yet they still kind of missed the point of the Messiah. They had heard reports of his resurrection and had not really taken them seriously. And so how is this a do-over for them? Well, Jesus is walking with them on this 7-mile trek to Emmaus, and he's giving them a second chance to take the word of God seriously. He is walking them through the Old Testament scriptures, connecting them to the Messiah, to himself and his own life, so that he can show them just what the word of God, what the that the Word of God is such a priority in our lives. As he walks them through the Old Testament, connecting it to himself and his life, he's taking their eyes and their focus off of the present circumstances from Friday to Sunday, and he's refocusing their attention on the thing that matters most, on the Word of God. And the promises that he himself spoke to them while he was with them. And as they themselves said, their hearts began to burn within them as he shared these promises with them. And this was before he revealed his identity to them. The power of the Word of God began to burn in them like a blazing furnace. The reason that he withheld his identity from them initially was because he wanted them to rely at this time and in the coming days, not so much on his physical presence, but on his word. You see, in the days to come, he would only be with them 40 more days before he would be hidden from them again. He would visibly and physically ascend into heaven, and they would see him no more. And so after that, it would be not the Word made flesh that they would follow and listen to and watch as they had, but it would be the Word that he had spoken and that they would recall, that they would hear and watch and follow. It would be those same words that the Holy Spirit would come and remind them of, and that he would encourage them with. And with those words, he would keep them in the saving faith in Jesus Christ. And my friends, so it is with us today. You know, this pandemic might be, for some of us, a once-in-a-lifetime do-over. And we are getting the opportunity right now, an opportunity that seldom comes around, to in such a manner reset our routines and recalibrate our priorities and reinvent our family and personal practices and to renew our resolve to make the Word of God our highest priority. You know, in many ways, this pandemic can be for you a fresh start. And can't we all use one of those? You know, fresh starts are Jesus' specialty, even for nobodies like Cleopas and his friend, even for nobodies like you and me. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to clean the slate fresh of our sins, and yours and mine's, and everybody's, the whole world's, to die for all the world's sins, once and for all. You know, every day is a fresh start for disciples of Jesus. And not because, you know, it's a fresh start in the sense that we get a do-over because then we can act better and we can do better and we can try harder so that God might love us more. No, God cannot love us any more than he already does, and he cannot love us any less than he already does. He loved us to the limit in Jesus when he sent him to die for all of our sins, even for nobodies like you and me. And you know what? He comes to us, just like he came to those two on the road to Emmaus. He came to us in the sacrament of holy baptism, but he hid himself, just like he did with those two men. He hid himself, though, beneath the water and the word to make us his very own. Because you are not just a nobody. To him, you are somebody. Somebody worth dying for. And even though Jesus continues to seem to hide himself from us at times, he is still very much with us. He is alive. And he continues to provide. He continues to speak to us through his word. And just as he did with those two men, he will appear to us as well. But not yet. Someday soon, whether that's the day that we die or the day that he comes in all glory, he will appear to us, no longer hiding beneath the word and the sacraments, no longer hiding beneath the testimony of nobodies like you and me. But on that day, he will stay with us forever. My friends, how will you approach this do-over that this pandemic is affording us? How will it impact your faith life right now, and perhaps as the restrictions begin to lift? You know, maybe you've already decided you're going to join one of our life groups, or you're going to start coming to Sunday morning Bible study. Maybe you've decided that you're going to start listening to our reading our daily devotions that come through on emails, or you've already joined up our two-year Bible reading plan so that you can make the Word of God that priority and that blessing that God intends it to be for your life. The truth is, everybody's do-over opportunity right now is different. And yet, every day is a fresh start for us believers who are covered in the risen Christ's righteousness. And so the question becomes, for you and for me, how will you make use of this do-over? How will you use this do-over to become even closer to Jesus and his word? Amen.